Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have six rounds in the magazine. Round number one, marriage troubles on deployment is nothing new for troops. This story is different, though, because Anne McClain is accused of identity theft while in, folks, motherfucking space.
I had to join in on that.
I love it.
Blown away.
I love space crime. Round number two, a Marine turned teacher is in hot water for telling his students that he'd be the, quote, best school shooter and would stack 1,000 bodies. You heard me right. A dumbass Marine said that. Round number three, two Montana men got the greatest sentencings of all time for his stolen valor. They are embarrassed. They're going to be embarrassed for years to come, and I can't wait to tell you about this story. Round number four, the Navy's top SEAL says the force must return to normal discipline practice, which is haircuts. Get your haircuts here. Ice cold haircuts. Shave two. One free shave with a haircut, folks. Round number five, last week I spit out a phrase that might have some legs. It was finding your and. Some veterans in West Virginia are finding their and in an unusual way. Honey, you won't believe it when you hear it. Round number six, President Trump reportedly wants to use nuclear bombs to destroy hurricanes.
Fuck, we don't
believe the story is true, but we're definitely going to act like it is because bombing a hurricane is fucking awesome. All that is presented by our good friends at Starbucks. Starbucks has hired 25,000 military veterans and their spouses. They just announced that like last month that they accomplished that, and they're keeping going. They're just going to keep hiring and hiring and hiring. They've also given out 3 million cups of coffee to deployed service members, primarily in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. They sent over thousands, 3 million cups. I wonder how many pounds that is.
A lot of pounds.
I would say, just off the top of my head, I would say that's at least 750,000 pounds of coffee.
That's right?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably close.
They've adopted over 1,000 units, too. And how many pounds do you think that is, especially with the Army units? A lot. A little heavier.
I mean, you're averaging 245 pounds a soldier, at least?
Right.
And by September next month, they'll have 65 military family stores open, and they plan on doubling that as well. They're doing great things for the military community. We're about to have a great show. Let's kick it off right damn now.
No humidity. It's game week. I'm ready to run through a damn wall. I am fired up. I don't know about you guys' energy. My energy is high today. I came in high step into the studio, ready to go. Kate, you're going to have to deal with some college football talk. From here until January. Did Brent just turn my mic off? I'm not sure.
We are not talking about Army football.
I didn't turn it off. I turned it way down, though.
Most people.
No, I'm just kidding. I am excited. I am excited about this week, but I'm not crazy. But it is an exciting week. I do have a lot of energy. And I had a great weekend, if anyone cares to hear.
No, I don't.
Okay, fine.
Let's move on to round number one. Okay, go ahead.
We'll save you for the saved rounds. Space crime. Fighter of the Earth crime. Crime closer to the sun. An astronaut, Anne McClain, is not having fun. Okay, we sucked at that, but I wanted
to... I thought that was really good. You guys,
that was pretty good.
Thank you. Composed.
I usually can't get that high. My octaves don't go that high.
You didn't, and he didn't even know the reference. I'm really banking heavily on people watching It's Always Sunny. For that little song right there. And he had never seen it, but you still nailed it. You nailed the high parts. So you've redeemed yourself from your football talk.
Thank you.
But yeah, chaps, what's up with this space crime talk?
So that was a rough introduction to round number one. But we're going to keep on pressing forward because NASA is believed to be investigating a claim that astronaut Anne McClain accessed the bank account of her estranged spouse from the International Space Station in what may be the first allegation of a crime committed in space. Now back on Earth, McClain acknowledges accessing the account from the International Space Station, but denies doing anything wrong. Her estranged spouse, her name is Summer, reportedly filed a complaint against with the Federal Trade Commission. McClain's lawyer told the New York Times that she was merely making sure that the family's finances were in order and care for the Mrs. Warden's son, who they've been raising together. McClain graduated from West Point and flew over 800 combat tours over Iraq as an Army pilot, and she went on to qualify as a test pilot and was chosen to fly for NASA in 2013. She spent 6 months aboard the ISS. Now, I want to get into this a little bit because I think this is it's kind of strange. If it's a joint bank account, which a lot of these articles have said, I don't understand what she did wrong.
Correct.
If it's still joint. Unless especially, they had like an official separation or something like that.
But it doesn't matter. If her name is still on the account. So for instance, my father's name was on my bank account, my checking account for the longest time because when I opened it at 17, I needed an adult to co-sign the account. And mm-hmm. I just never took it off. And you have to file paperwork to take the name off officially. So if they never officially took her name off the account, then I don't see what the problem is either.
Right. And I think the media just picked it up hardcore, this story.
Because it's a space crime.
Because right. it's a space crime. Right. And I didn't care what it was. I clicked the link right away. I was like, ooh, yeah. space crime. Ooh.
Yeah, how did you manage
because then all of that, you, what if you, what happened? I mean, space crime is just so sexy. Like the idea of being in not even international waters, intergalactic waters. There. You're
what
just hanging
word.
Out in space and you could do any old thing you want. So I looked into it a little bit, and they're each one of the astronauts, if you're in the ISS, I think there's six countries up there now, each one falls under their own laws. I don't know how you enforce that, because so many of the premises of laws is that you have to be in that country. Like,
correct.
You're outside the, every jurisdiction.
Correct.
Right.
The only thing that she could be charged under, I would assume, would be like the UCMJ, because the ISS would be technically considered government property.
Well, there's also extradition laws. So if I'm up in space and I'm having a little space vodka with my Russian buddy, because it's U.S., Canada, Japan, Russia, and a couple European countries are up there. So I'm having a couple drinks of Vladimir up there, and I decide to stab him right in the gullet. Mm. Well, guess what? When we land, I can't be like, no take backs and swim over and touch the U.S. boat and I'm fine. They can extradite me still. So you can also, you're kind of... So, like subject then to every law of every country that's up there. If you do a crime bad enough against that country, they can take you.
But
so.
That's theory. That's not like actual
right.
law. Like because it's never happened before. You have to see if you could actually get it. But could you imagine, Kate? You have a little knife and you go up and shank Sergey in the and like the kidney and blood starts going everywhere. How cool that would be! Like a Tarantino movie on steroids, where
yeah.
it's just like bubbles of blood, like just going all over.
That would be.
Oh, yeah.
That would look very cool. I mean, so much of law and prosecuting law is precedent, and since there's no precedent, I think that they're going to have a very hard time prosecuting her, even if it is found that what she did was wrong. So good luck to whatever attorney gets assigned this case. But on the other hand, would you go so far as to call her a trailblazer?
Yeah, I was really excited that it was a woman, to be honest with you. I mean, our ZBT account tweeted out, Brent texted us this weekend, well-behaved women rarely make history. And so I love that it was a lady.
An
that
original
did the
quote
first.
That I came up with by myself.
Totally
by the
came
way.
Up with that by himself. But I love that it was a lady. And also, can you imagine, though, like, you've been beefing with your spouse. You guys are kind of estranged. Things weren't the best when they left for space. But, like, so my kind of ex type person is up in space, well above the earth, and I think I'm fine. And then all of a sudden you see that someone's been in your account. There's no way I would think it was the person in space.
No.
I'd be like,
not.
It's the Nigerian prince. Like, who is in my accounts? Like,
must
I would never.
Must be a glitch.
Right. Must be a glitch. And then to find out it's Anne up above you. You can't even look up at the stars without knowing she's up there messing with your meddling with your stuff.
Hell hath no
I
fury.
Mean, but imagine how it's normally hard on a deployment for spouses like to be back at home and like you're deployed and like
right.
having those type of relationship. That's already when you're isolated and in space and you have access to do anything. Of course you're going to check. I mean, I'm sure astronauts are pretty busy. Like when we talked to Scott Kelly, he seemed like he was a pretty busy dude when he was
mm-hmm.
in space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to have some downtime. And what
yeah.
is
oh,
doing?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good, also one other thing. So the official tweet from this AFP news agency said, NASA is investigating what may be the first crime in outer space with astronaut Anne McClain accused of identity theft and improperly accessing her estranged wife's private blah, blah. This old dude commented on it. This picture of him, he's like an old-looking dude. His name is Richard, and he's like, her wife? What? What? What does that mean? I was like, it just made me laugh. I was like, get with the times, Richard. It's 2019. Also, I think it's worth noting, and it's on the sheet here, but space tourism is soon around the corner. And like you said, chaps, it's going to be the next Wild West. There's going to be blood flinging all around up there.
If you need someone whacked, they're going to take him into space.
Right.
Well, that's why whenever somebody gets murdered in international water, it's a hard case to prove because which country has jurisdiction? Mm-hmm. That's a tough thing to do as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, getting into space law, if you have a son right now or a daughter entering high school age, I would really be pushing him into space law.
Oh, soon there's going to be Space JAG with our new Space Force program.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
Space JAG for sure. They're going to establish, I bet, all of those different rules. Also, I have a little bone to pick with our social media guy, Kyle.
Uh-oh, why?
Because somebody, whenever we tweeted it out, the well-behaved women tweet about this, what happened, somebody commented to the tweet and said, is ZBT advocated crime? Kyle responded, absolutely not. Bullshit.
If
it's space crime, we're big advocates. I need that to be a jurisdiction. I need to be that a genre. I want space crime.
Kate's just having a sneezing fit.
I'm allergic to space crime. I'm sneezing.
I want there to be space crime podcast. I want there to be true crime space. I need all that stuff to happen. Space crime, space crime. As long as nobody gets seriously hurt.
Correct. Like white collar crime like this. Bank fraud, things like that.
And I don't
like,
even think this is
whatever.
A crime. I don't understand how this is a crime at all.
Right. If
well, we'll find out. We'll find out. I have one last question, probably for both of you. I don't know that Bren would have done this, and I guess I could just look in the Google Share doc and see who made the edit. The original copy and paste from whatever source we got this from.
We should probably say.
It's from the New York Times.
From the New York Times. The sentence originally read, McLean graduated from the prestigious West Point. Which one of you deleted
that? I took prestigious out.
Why?
I took it out.
There you go.
I was just wordiness, that's all.
Oh, okay.
But you're very prestigious, rest assured.
I would have guessed chaps, but okay.
Great, more West Point talk. That's weird. Let's move on to round two.
Day man. Fighter of the night man. Champion of the sun.
Guys, I have a question for round two. Weirdest teacher you ever had?
Wow.
Ours, we had one, a substitute, that would bring in, you know, when they roll in the TV.
Yes.
And he would show us old wrestling films every day.
That's awesome.
And it turns out he was on the sauce. He was taking little nipperoons behind the desk. He ended up getting caught. He got kicked out. Yeah. But old ass wrestling, he would bring in his own VHSs and like that's what we would do.
Yeah.
He'd pull the shades and he would like take little nips of the old whiskey. Watching wrestling. But I think that's the weirdest.
I didn't really have a weird... I don't really know weird teachers stand out to me, but my fourth grade teacher, this nun, she was so mean, she used to tip over people's desks if they were too messy.
Badass.
And one day, she went on a freaking spree. She made everyone stand up, stand in the back of the room. She tipped over like 9 desks that she deemed too messy.
Whew, that's like me with bar stools after I've had too many. But, chaps, you have a tale of an even stranger teacher who has genuinely really fucked up.
I do. His name is Keith Cook, and he's a teacher in Florida. He's currently on administrative leave because on August 16, CNN reports that Cook, who's a former U.S. Marine, allegedly took students at a Tampa area high school and told them that he would, quote, be the best school shooter and that he would have, wait for it, a 1,000-person body count, according to a Polk County risk protection order. Though Cook told authorities he was joking, 16 students told the police about his disturbing remarks. These included his description of planting an IED device before he would fire a couple rounds and wait for everyone to hide and then press a button and boom, everyone would die, is what one student told CNN and investigators. That guy, big, big mistake.
Holy shit. That. It says here, another student said Cook remarked that he would put a bomb in the corner and put nails in it for shrapnel. So he's getting into details at the IED talk and telling a whole classroom of his own students how he would basically, murder fucking students.
Murder
I can't
everyone.
Even say it because it sounds so fucking terrible to say out loud. What the hell? And this, you're right. We were talking about pogue moves and how the three of us, not too much room to talk, but this right here is somebody who wants to show anybody who will listen that they have a little bit of inside knowledge on the old Marine Corps tactics, you know?
And what kind of real clout are you going to get? I mean, what's your best outcome? That your students are fucking terrified that you're a psychopath? That you can go around with a weapon as a trained Marine and kill unarmed children? Like, that's the clout that you want?
And what kind of flex, too? They're fucking high school kids, man. Like, what do you need to impress them for? Like, as if that would even impress them. Like, that's so fucking bizarre.
So
I don't know.
We were talking about it, and then it made me think whether or not this is illegal. And this, I mean, depending on what you look into and the accounts of these students, could be considered terroristic threats, domestic terrorism, mm-hmm. because it's a threat, it's very specific, and it's reasoning for terror. So, I mean, it fits the bill for a terroristic threat. So, I don't know what's going to happen to this gentleman, but I pray to God he'll be fired and put somewhere other than this school. Because you have to take these threats seriously. Sorry, chaps. Go ahead.
You see, like, police officers going to arrest people who are doing these type of things on video games. I would say that doing it in the classroom with students during an actual drill is worse than doing it on video games.
Yes. Yes, because you're instilling fear in these students. If I was a 16-year-old student and I heard my teacher talking about this, more than likely I'd go home and tell my parents. What would your – all right, so Chaps, I hate to put this thought out, but I mean if your daughter came home and told you this, that a teacher was saying these things in her classroom, what would you do?
You know, I mean, that's tough. Like, obviously you go talk to like the administrators.
Right.
But it's so – like sometimes these things are so unbelievable that – you're like, that can't be what actually happened. Because you want to apply common sense, especially to people who are in these type of positions of like teachers in high school. You're like, oh, what? There's no way a teacher actually said that.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah.
That?
Well, they did. They put out a risk protection order, and Cook has no criminal history, but the protection order said he may be seriously mentally ill or have recurring mental health issues. They also went through his home and his vehicle and didn't find any weapons or anything like that. But again, just such a weird thing to flex to high school students that like, hey, you kids want to hear about, that's me puffing my cigarette in the classroom. You want to hear a little bit about IEDs? What I would do?
If you want military clout from a high school student, just show them your National Defense ribbon. They don't know anything. National Defense Medal, they're like, oh man, that dude's a badass. Like, he must be fucking a hero.
Let me pose this question. Do you think it is harder now to be a teacher than it's ever been with the fact that students can at a dime Google something and challenge you in a classroom? The fact that social media is as prevalent as it is, just all of these factors. Do you think it is hard now to be a teacher? Or is it just a different type of challenge
that
teachers have always faced?
I think being able
to call you out on your knowledge right away is a totally different thing. But that would be tough, man. Because, whenever you grow up, you just assume that your teacher knows everything.
Yeah.
But in reality, they don't. Like, there could be some idiots, too. Like, if you're pointing at a wrong bone, like, oh, that's not the wrong bone. Before, you had to come back the next day with, like, a chart. And by the time you're done, you can't really dunk on them. Now, you could just throw it up there from using Apple Play or whatever onto the big screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Dunk.
Well, for Cook, as for it goes for him, the final, like, hearing or whatever for the protection order is August 30th. So what? That's, like, right now.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Days, yeah.
So I'm just wondering, after all that, after, like, it's clearly such a weird-ass move, if they do reinstate him, can you imagine him having to walk back in the classroom and be like, hey, sorry, I said I could kill 1,000 of you. Whoa, Yankaroonies, here's some dum-dums.
I'm just doing a little goofing.
I don't think he gets reinstated for that particular reason that you just mentioned.
I think he doesn't go
back to the same school for sure. No way he goes back to the same
school. I just know how tough it is to, you know, that I think they'll just move him to another, but very weird.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm.
All right, let's move on to round three. Round number three is brought to you by CBDistillery.com. I'm a huge CBD fan. If you have health concerns and you need to see what CBD can do for you, I like the bath bombs because they smell wonderful, they look wonderful, and they make you feel wonderful. I know our guy KFC is one as well, too. He like posts those videos on there where you just throw it in there. There's nothing like a bath bomb with a little bit of CBD added. Bottom line, if you haven't tried CBD for whatever your health concerns are or for long-term wellness, you need to check it out. you can get your CBD products is where you get your CBD products is crucial. I rely on CBDDistillery.com for their quality control, their independent lab tests, and nearly a quarter million of a customer. You got health concern, you owe it to yourself to see what CBD can do for you. Go to CBDDistillery.com and enter ZBT for 20% off. Again, enter ZBT for 20% off at CBDDistillery.com. That's CBDDistillery.com. And if you're like me and you can't spell that well, distillery is spelled D-I-S-T-I-L-L-E-R-Y, distillery.com, CBDDistillery.com. Round number three, folks, we're talking about Stolen Valor again.
I
love this Stolen Valor story because normally there's like Stolen Valor and there's almost like an element of sadness, right? I think that's kind of why we've always said, like, if you're that 19-year-old dude, you're dressed up as like an Army Sergeant Major with 9 Purple Hearts, 6 Bronze Stars, and 3 Medals of Honor, you're like, there's some other issues. Off. Yeah, you got some other stuff. I'm not too concerned whether you get a free tall coffee from Starbucks on Veterans Day. Go ahead and knock that fucking coffee out of the ballpark, my friend.
Right.
You got other shit going on. But sometimes people go a little bit too far with Stolen Valor, and that's the case here in Montana, and I absolutely love it. Kate, you want to walk us through what actually happened?
Certainly. Two men from Great Falls, Montana, were sentenced for crimes committed while pretending to be military veterans. Judge Greg Pinsky placed some unique requirements on their sentences because Ryan Morris and Troy Nelson both claimed to be veterans in an effort to receive lesser sentences and to be eligible to enter Judge Pinsky's veteran treatment court. During Friday's proceedings, Judge Pinsky made it clear that their dishonesty and acts of stealing valor would not be tolerated. Pinsky made Morris and Nelson watch a video of a Stolen Valor suspect being confronted by members of the armed forces.
Before we go further, I like to imagine this, like going back to the teacher story, not all the elements of the teacher story, but you remember whenever you were in, I don't know if kids do this anymore, because we used to have the big box tube TV that you rolled in on the big black cart and the TV
was on
the top.
My drunkie substitute. That's the wrestling videos. He would roll the thing in. Yeah.
Those were great.
So I like the court like rolling this thing in. These two defendants are sitting there and the judge is like, all right, roll the tape. Go on, Kate.
And nothing against Montana, but it was probably a VHS.
Oh, yeah.
I love, too, that these two guys are sitting there, Morris and Nelson, are sitting in veterans court surrounded by veterans, which it's a privilege to be able to go to veterans court. And they're sitting there surrounded by veterans, and they have to sit there and watch a video of Stolen Valor guys getting confronted by Stolen. Anyways, Pinsky then read the names of Montanans who have died while serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. Morris, who was convicted of burglary, was sentenced to 10 years in prison with 3 of the years suspended. Nelson received 5 years in prison with 2 years suspended for a conviction of criminal possession of dangerous drugs. When they complete their prison terms, they then must complete Pinsky's additional requirements before they can be considered for parole.
Now, this is where the story, folks, this is where this judge had to have either been a company commander at some point with a super squared away, like, senior NCO, staff NCO, or he's just watched a lot of military TV because these punishments are fucking fantastic. Go ahead.
Very creative.
Oh, yeah. And this first one I've actually seen on base myself outside the PX and stuff like that, like a Marine wearing a sign that said, I was drunk driving and blah, 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 or I did this or I did that. The sandwich board punishment, very effective. Both men must wear at the Montana Veterans Memorial during each Memorial Day and Veterans Day ceremony, while they are under court supervision, signs that read, I am a liar, I am not a veteran, I stole valor, I dishonored all veterans.
So, and this is all caps.
All caps. All caps. And these are the two-time Memorial Day and Veterans Day at the Montana Veterans Memorial when all the veterans will be there to see it.
I wonder, it doesn't say how long, but any amount over a minute would be...
The whole time they're on parole under court supervision.
No. I'm talking about the amount of time spent that day.
It's got to be for a long time, I'd imagine. Yeah. I want to read the other parts of this sentence because it is unreal. Yeah. He's not only making them stand outside with the sandwich board that say, I am a liar, I am not a veteran, I stole valor, I dishonored all veterans, but they also have to handwrite all the names of the 6,756 Americans killed in Iraq and Afghanistan wars. They have to handwrite the obituary of the 40 Montanans who were killed in Iraq and Afghanistan wars. and they have to write letters of apology to the following organizations: the American Legion, AMVETS, Disabled American Veterans, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, the Veterans of Foreign War, and the Vietnam Veterans for America. And they have to commit, they have to do 441 hours of community service. Anytime you make somebody handwrite a punishment, it's a stunt.
That's
just
brutal.
Automatically a stunt.
Speaking of grammar school, as we were earlier, I'm thinking back, we had these handwriting books where you had to just write stuff over and over. And if it wasn't good enough, it wasn't neat enough, you had to do it again and again and again. And now, with how much people type, I rarely write. And I noticed the other day, when I write handwritten notes to folks, my handwriting has really kind of gone to shit because I don't do it enough, right? So it looks kind of sloppy. I have to really concentrate. And then when you think about writing, even if I'm writing a long letter, my hand starts to hurt because the muscles aren't used to it. So this amount of writing is a severe punishment in and of itself. And I really respect it. I really respect it.
Well, on the plus side, maybe these gentlemen, Troy and Ryan, will learn to read. So that could be a big plus.
But I do think it is a great punishment for what they did and really respecting the folks and the names of the people they stole the valor from. I think it is a great punishment.
I just want to go to a Veterans Day service in Montana now just to see them. Just to be like, hey, we talked about you guys on our pod. And I just had to see you for myself. In Montana, I'm not even mad. I just
Montana is not fucking around with that either.
Like, no.
Montana is essentially the south of the Northwest.
All right.
They are not screwing around with stolen.
Here's a question. When they show up with these sandwich boards on their persons, do they get physically assaulted?
No.
No.
Okay. I think everybody knows the shame of it's just enough. I would 10 minutes into it, I would just want to curl up in a ball and die. So, yeah.
That might be worse than when Cersei had to walk through the streets and get shamed with her tits out.
Right.
Might be the worst punishment.
That'd be pretty bad. Yeah.
All right, let's
kudos
move on.
To Judge Pinsky. Great judge name, too.
Long time stoolie, too.
Yeah. Brick by brick.
All right, round number four. The SEALs are back in the news. Seems like we've been talking about the SEAL community a lot recently. But Paul Zoldra, from our over at our pals Task and Purpose, he summed up the SEALs' troubles recently by saying, among the issues that have come to light in recent years were the nearly dozen SEALs booted from the service after testing positive for drugs in 2018, as well as others being investigated or brought to trial on murder charges. Other SEALs have been charged with allegedly abusing prisoners in Afghanistan. Another was sentenced to nearly 30 years in prison for producing images of child sexual abuse in February 2018. That same sailor was sentenced to an additional 60 years for child molestation on July 30th.
But wait, there's more.
More recently, the entirety of SEAL Team 7 Foxtrot Platoon was pulled out of Iraq last month, and allegations of a boozy 4th of July party and an allegation of sexual assault. And Navy Times revealed several members of SEAL Team 10 were using cocaine and other drugs regularly. SEALs were also involved in the hazing death of a Green Beret in Mali, one of whom is now being investigated for allegedly trying to flirt with and manipulate the victim's widow. And despite the acquittal of former SEAL Chief Eddie Gallagher, on murder charges in early July, his court-martial revealed that members of his unit, SEAL Team 7 Alpha Platoon, constructed their own rooftop bar in Iraq and engaged in other alleged misconduct on deployment.
Woo! My goodness.
Sheesh! When you put it all together, it's problematic. It's problematic all by themselves, but when you put it all together, it goes to another level.
But also, too, those are all things that were very heavily in the news. And so you know that command higher than the top of Navy SEAL command is coming down at him and saying, what the fuck? Get these guys in line, because you're going to lose funding. You're going to lose support. You're going to lose all these things if you keep making the military, you know, these high pro. And it overshadows all the amazing things that SEALs do. So
that.
Yeah.
Do.
So what? How are they going to remedy this issue,
sir? Well, to remedy the problem, the commander of Naval Special Warfare Command, Rear Admiral Colin Green, laid out several changes in an August 20th memo, including that allegations of misconduct involving officers and senior SEALs, E7 and above, will be sent directly to Green to handle. I reserve the right to withhold all non-judicial punishment authority for those reports at my level as I deem appropriate.
Oh, my God.
Rear Admiral Green wrote.
Can you explain that to me? Because NJPs don't apply. He's just the end-all, be-all? Like, what does that mean?
So if something happens with, E7s and above, it's difficult to do, NJPs on because they don't in the Navy and the Department of the Navy, you have to have command. Well, you have to have court martial authority to remove rank from somebody. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, don't even bother with it at like a battalion or squadron level. Send it to me, because he does have the authority to move rank because he has court martial authority. So, but I just love the line where he says, I reserve the right to withhold. Anytime that you can say that and mean it, like, and mm-hmm. you have that level of authority where I reserve the right, everything falls on my shoulder. That's fucking boss shit.
I respect it too, because he's saying, you know what? Nothing else has worked. All right, now this is on me. Send them to me. And the memo went on further to say that Green is going to call for intrusive leadership and, quote, routine inspections to ensure all Navy grooming and uniform standards, including adherence to all Navy tradition, customs, and ceremonies, are followed. Additionally, the charges include a ban on all unofficial unit insignia to include logos and patches. So that's certain units will get their own units, logos, and patches made up just to kind of talk about what they think their unit represents. So it bringing a stop to all of that.
Because largely for a while, these guys were OFP, their own fucking program, kind of like the long hair, the big beards, the yep. whatever they wanted to wear, the what, and they kind of had this like aura about them that they were untouchable. And clearly in the last few years, they have taken advantage of that, some of these units, and they are not untouchable. They're actually causing a whole lot of headaches for the U.S. military right now. So
I love imagining the young members of the SEAL community reading this and just seeing the sign that says intrusive leadership.
Fuck.
Like, that's the type of phrase. It's like Mufasa with the hyenas, where it's like, intrusive leadership. Ooh, say it again. Yeah. Intrusive leadership. That is not what you want. When you're a junior level troop of any kind, the last type of leadership that you want is intrusive. And not just a junior troop. Whenever you have your own platoon, whenever you have your, if you're a platoon leader, platoon mm-hmm. commander, whatever, you don't want that shit. You've earned the right to be the platoon leader, platoon commander. You want to lead your own people. This makes it clear we are going to be in your Kool-Aid and we are going to be the ones that are stirring it.
Yeah, I think correlation in the civilian world, if you have a boss that micromanages you, that is the last thing you want. And that's, you know, intrusive leadership too. And I just want to read the last part of the memo that Admiral Green wrote. He said, the mission is too important. The nation needs us countering violent extremist organizations, rogue regimes, and in constant competition with peer and near-peer adversaries. We own the problems and the solutions.
Right, because if they're tangled up in legal battles, if they're right. withdrawing troops from, and, you know, I thought Navy SEALs never pulled out, but they're getting pulled out. They're getting pulled out of different countries, like all this stuff. So the mission's too important for all that bullshit. So yeah, they're going to have to. And also plans to grow SEAL teams has kind of been put on hold right now until there's accountability, until they figure it out. So it really is hurting, you know, that buzz, the mission readiness, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so
lethality too. Oh, and he's saying that we're going to focus on quality rather than quantity. I wish I could have had the opportunity to write one of these go fuck yourself letters, because whenever you're writing a letter like this that is a call to return to discipline, you have to know it's going to leak. Mm-hmm. So I imagine he was going back and forth like, how badass do I want to make this? Mm-hmm. Because think about some of the legendary letters that you wrote that are like a call to discipline, a call to action, like Mattis's that we've read whenever they're getting ready to go into Iraq. You have all these letters that you either look like a dickhead or you look like somebody who is squared the fuck away. Green comes off as squared away. And I've seen a lot of people mirror his thoughts of like notable SEALs. Like Rob O'Neill was very adamant that this is something that needs to happen for them to be returned to discipline. He blames it on millennials. I'm pretty sure that Rob O'Neill is a millennial. He might be like one or 2 years outside.
Yeah, I think he might be.
And also, wouldn't you say, who's in charge of the millennials? Aren't they the ones supposed to have control over these people? So I would blame it on the group above the millennials.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, but either way, that's an important thing to note, that if I were an older SEAL that has already done my service, I'd be kind of bummed out that it's like, hey guys, we acted the right way for so long and now you're making us look bad.
Right.
So please knock it off.
Well, even 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whenever we did the Starbucks trip out to One Wave, whenever we talked to the people at One Wave, some of their SEALs were like, man, the shit that we're in the news for right now is not what we used to be in the news for. We need to return to being a little more quiet about the roles that we have. Because it used to be, even on social media, they didn't post out pictures at all. And then now it's like blurred face or the black over the eyes or whatever. It's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
What are we doing here?
So kudos to Admiral Green.
Yeah. But Admiral Green, one last note about him. Listen, I'm not a big time Navy grooming standards expert by any means. But if you're going to have, if you're going to write a letter, and you guys need to look up what he actually looks like. If you're going to write a letter that talks about grooming standards, I think it's time to get rid of the extremely low reg. You got to go, you got to go high and tight. Whenever you're writing that letter, you got to go high and tight.
Yeah, he's got a I guess if we're nitpicking here, he's got a little bit of a lackadaisical haircut. You need a full-blown, in the Army terms, hula haircut.
He's looking like fucking Luke Mitchell. You don't want that.
Oof, no. Get Luke Mitchell haircut.
All right, let's move on. So if you're one of those Navy SEALs who needs to start shaving for the first time in years, make sure you go with Dollar Shave Club. I've been a member there for years. It's great. It's wonderful. From the cologne, the toothpaste, the lotions, the shave butter, my friend. Your face is going to go from looking like an operator to looking sexy as hell. Dollar Shave Club has you covered head to toe. They have everything that you need to shower, shave, style your hair, brush your teeth, and yes, even wipe your butt so you can be the cleanest Navy SEAL in the bunch, so you can make Admiral Green super, super happy. And Dollar Shave Club can keep you automatically stopped up, because this isn't just going to be a return to discipline for a few weeks, folks. We're doing this for a while, so make sure that you have a membership. There's no better time than now, and make sure that you go to dollarshaveclub.com/chaps. You're going to get the first ultimate starter kit for just $5. It's the best quality. You're going to get the executive razor, the shave butter, the prep scrub, the post-shave do. The post-shave do, by the way, I've been a shaved head guy. I've returned to Sunday haircuts where I shave my head all the way, and then I put this post-shave. Oh, my God. It's like a little lotion massage that I do to myself. Ooh. It is absolutely wonderful. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/chaps. $5 to try out all that shit. Let's move on to round number five.
Gotta tell ya. Round number five has me pretty buzzed.
All right, so I want to say, because this is a kind of a weird story for us. It's not like a huge deal. The other ones are pretty big news in the military world. This one's not a big news story. But I wanted to talk about it because last week I mentioned that you need to find your and. And this is an example of that. It doesn't have to be anything crazy or fancy or super expensive to do. Actually, I don't know how much this cost actually gets started.
Chaps, can you just explain real quick, though, just elaborate a little bit? Because I think we kind of mentioned that briefly last week, but I think it is worth really pulling out and explaining what you meant by finding your and.
Yeah, so I think a lot of veterans have trouble whenever they get out of the military, because for so long, whenever you're in, whether you're in for 2 years or 4 years, you're in the National Guard for six, you spend 15, 20, no matter how long you're in the military. When you are in the military, it becomes so much of your life. Like, your life is consumed with it. Every day, you don't really have an off time. You constantly have to have a cell phone. So the military is your life. Whenever you are so engrossed in something like the military and then it is removed, it's difficult to find something that you enjoy, find something that replaces that almost. So I've noticed that over the past couple of years that more and more veterans, that becomes their identity, is the fact that they are a veteran, that they are a military member, and things like that. We advocate for you've got to be a more whole person. So finding your and is what I said last week, and I think it kind of applies in a lot of situations. You could be a veteran and this, a veteran and that. Just happens one day today. We are going to talk about a veteran who is a veteran, lieutenant colonel, and he's a motherfucking beekeeper, right, Kate?
Ooh, he is. For 10 days, Ed Forney chatted with each visitor who passed by his table at the West Virginia Grown Country Store at the State Fair of West Virginia. And Forney's display attracted a lot of attention. And you know why. People love honey. Chaps, I know you're a huge honey guy. You have a whole shelf of it over at your house right now.
I do.
He's literally looking at it as we speak. Like, honey, like, looks immediately over. His whole shelf of it.
Honey.
But yeah, people love the honey. But that wasn't the only thing that drew a crowd. The signs above Forney's display helped quite a bit because it said, West Virginia veteran produced honey. And that would make me tilt my head a little bit. I don't normally associate veterans with bees.
No.
Yeah.
Veteran honey's pretty sweet.
Right. So
see what you did there.
Forney is a face that fairgoers associate with veteran produced honey, but he's actually one of more than 300 veterans in the West Virginia Veterans and Warriors to Agriculture program. Forney, a U.S. Army veteran who lives in Berkeley County, that means nothing to any of us probably unless you know, and his wife Cheryl retired from WVU Medical Center, where she spent a lot of her time working in the trauma center. After she retired, she got into beekeeping for relaxation, and then the two built a farm. They started their own veterans beekeeping program, and in 2012, they got established with the Veterans and Warriors program. So basically, they started like, here's my little bee wings, you're under it. Bzz, you know, get under here, guy. I just love making the bee sound. But they started teaching other veterans how to beekeep, and I can see, this actually is weird to me, but there's a little element of danger to it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could get swarmed from the flank. From the echelon right. left, they yeah. can come in hot, you know?
You get to fuck with smoke.
You get to fuck with smoke. There's a kind of a smoke pit involved. There's danger. There's all this stuff.
And we don't have to get too much further into the yeah. story, but I love the idea. This is just something that interests them. They have a, and now they have people with a joint hobby that they could go out and do something. Finding your and can be something as simple as hanging out with bees and making your own honey. It could be going and joining a swim club. It could, like one of my friends here, he's gotten really involved in Ironman to stay like in shape. He has like a couple of buddies that were also in the Marine Corps that they get together and they do Ironman shit. That has yeah. zero interest level to me. Mm-hmm. But some cooking, when I got out, some of my buddies that were in the Air Force and Navy would come over and we do barbecue stuff. It's just you've got to find a way to get plugged in with a group of people who kind of replace or amplify that position in your brain where you have your own little support group.
Well, I loved this too because you're like veterans to agriculture, okay. But if you've ever – my mom was a huge gardener when I was growing up and I used to love – like here in New York City, it's tough. But you go out there for like, 20 minutes and we would have – I used to love doing it with her, the little tools, like pick some weeds. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, like – a couple hours have gone by and you're just like out in nature. You're kind of zoned out. You're like
relaxed.
Focusing on a task. You are so relaxed by the time you're done, like yeah. in the garden or even outside. It's true. Yeah. Like
I know. And this Lieutenant Colonel, imagine how happy this dude is whenever somebody comes to his house and you're like, do you want some toast? And they're like, yeah, I guess it's kind of weird. It's like 3:30 in the afternoon, but I guess I'll go for a little toast. Do you want some of my honey for your toast?
Yeah. Like, he's like the old yes. lady from Wedding Singer. She's like, yeah. he squeezes the yeah. honey toast yeah. into their hands and is like, I want to watch you enjoy it.
If you've ever, a book recommendation that I would recommend, not just to veterans, but to anybody, it's a good book. It's called Tribe by Sebastian Younger. And his whole thing about veterans is finding your tribe. So that's what we're talking about here. Whether it's beekeeping, whether it's Ironman, it's so important when you leave the military, you have that real sense of purpose, that sense of family, that sense of tribe that you need to find a new tribe once you leave the military. And it's so important. I've actually described Barstool Sports as my tribe that I've joined since leaving the military and how important that has been for me and how it's made me happier and fulfilled. So I think it is very important to find your tribe.
Well, you're going to love our Barstool Beekeeping podcast that we're starting. So yeah. It's going to be a hot patooties.
It's going to be called Bees in the Trap. That's what we're going to call it.
True story.
It's going to be about half rap, half bees.
Wait till you see the t-shirts.
All right, let's move on to round six. So President Trump apparently has floated dropping nuclear bombs into hurricanes to stop them from hitting the United States in meetings that he had with the Homeland Security and national security outfits. According to sources who have heard the president's private remarks and have been briefed on the National Security Council memorandum, the suggestions were made during briefings on hurricanes because they get together, they sit around their table, and they talk about what areas could possibly hit, what we need to do, where do the different ships need to go, and all that shit. Well, at one point during the meeting, President Trump apparently looked up and said, I got it. Why don't we nuke them? Trump said in one such White House brief, according to the source. And he continued on and said, they're starting forming off the coast of Africa as they are moving across the Atlantic. We drop a bomb inside the eye of the hurricane and it disrupts it. Why can't we do that?
So apparently, they respond with, sir, we'll look into that.
Imagine being that guy where you're sitting there and somebody says, we need to drop a nuclear bomb inside the hurricane. Which if you've seen a nuclear bomb, I posted a GIF of it yesterday on Twitter. It might work. I mean, my work.
No.
Would it not create like a large enough air vacuum that it would disrupt the winds and totally offset the hurricane?
No, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration had to give out a fact sheet after all this hubbub came about and address the concepts and points that it would likely not work at all and cause more harm than good. Apart from the fact that this might not even alter the storm, this approach neglects the problem that it would basically make a giant nuclear hurricane that would drop
all the nuclear fallout would just
everybody.
Keep going.
Right.
This is like reminds me of maybe like Terminator 2 where they shoot him with the shotgun and he kind of falls apart and then he comes back together. So it might disrupt it in a little bit, but then it's going to just keep going. And I think what people forget, though, too, is just because the only thing that's really reported on hurricanes is all the destruction that they cause. But if you look into it, there's a lot of productive things that hurricanes actually do. There's climate control. They move sediments around the ocean, which is very helpful. As I said, they regulate climate. I'm trying to remember what else they do. But there are positives to hurricanes.
Wow, Cons loves hurricanes. Oh. Cons is pro-hurricane.
I'm definitely going to have to go back and fact check crisis from last week,
They provide necessary rainfall to regions that otherwise do not get a lot of rainfall, which is very important. So there are things about hurricanes that are productive. So you can't just go around stopping hurricanes.
We're going to save that clip for the next time a terrible hurricane hits.
You look it up.
Yeah, that's going to be troublesome for Con the next time a Category 5 comes ripping through Puerto Rico.
Yo, look up any meteorologist will tell you hurricanes do serve a purpose.
Well, I'm sure, just like fires do, but we don't want the entire Amazon to be burning. Like fires, like things grow back better whenever things have been burning, slash and burn technology and shit like that. But we put it out there because it's such a great topic to just think about what would actually happen. The super hurricane, super nuclear hurricane is obviously a beautiful idea, but we put it out there to our followers on Instagram and Twitter. Some of the answers were really good. I think my answer was really good. I would put 2 miles of claymores on pool noodles in the ocean, aiming them towards the enemy, which in this case is the hurricane.
But wouldn't it just spit the steel balls back at you?
Maybe, but if you have 2 miles of claymores, imagine like back to back to back. That's
so
a
maybe
lot of
a click mind clearing. Yeah.
I also just want to say, a source at the hurricane briefing. Trump has come out and been like, "No, I didn't say that." But a source at the hurricane briefing at the White House was the one who told the news outlets that he said, "I got it. Why don't we nuke them?" Blah blah blah. And so then the president asked how many hurricanes the U.S. would be able to stop and reiterated it, which caused the briefer to be, apparently, according to sources, knocked back on his heels. You could hear a gnat fart in that meeting. People were astonished. After the meeting ended, we thought, what the fuck? What do we do with this? Said another source. People were, I love a gnat fart. You can hear.
Might have spurred something on, like in President Trump's defense. If you throw out nuclear bombs, you're like, well, maybe there is something that we could actually do, man, way to make this stop. Like certain people have said, maybe if you line the coast of Florida with big fans, we can push back the wind another way.
Or if
like
you shoot
one wind versus another wind. Our guy Kyle said he's going to drop a lieutenant to navigate it to the coast, so they'll just get lost and kind of stay
it.
Out
well
and
done.
See. Spencer Smith said that he is going to put a PT belt around the hurricane so
that like
everybody
that.
Around will be safe. Another dude, Bry Hates Running, said that he'd probably put three drunk Lance Corporals, 5 tops. There's no way they can get anything done. And then this is probably the best one. Our guy, BP Coyle, said he would put the internet leak, the fappening, because it could take down any cloud.
Okay.
Certainly a lot of ways to take down hurricanes, but it's just so ridiculous to think, too, that even if it were possible to use a nuclear bomb against a hurricane, guess what? There's hurricanes every year. Hurricanes don't stop. We can't obviously keep making nuclear bombs at that rate dropping that much nuclear fallout into the atmosphere.
My favorite conism is when Cons drops a guess what, and he thinks that he just like totally took your king in chess. Thank you for reminding us that won't be the last hurricane.
Yes,
Cons.
Thank you.
Guess what?
I think we all forgot that.
I would love to see it, though. Just one.
Yeah, one time.
Dude, one awesome. Bomb dropped in the middle of a fucking hurricane. I would watch the shit out of that.
I would want to know what would happen.
Right. I'm curious.
In Trump's defense, I want to know what would happen if you put a nuclear bomb in the middle of a hurricane.
It would probably cause a tidal wave, honestly, if you think about it. There would just be a ton of water rushing up on the coast, and that would probably, like...
But here's the thing. You know what's great is we're having the discussion now.
Yeah.
All right?
Thinking about
we
it.
And that's finally important. Broached. I think it's been on everybody's minds. Yeah. It's a good thing we're bringing it up.
It's just the old adage that there's no such thing as a stupid question. Like, you can right. pose it out there. Like, what happened? What's the worst thing that happened? I tell you this. If we do drop a nuclear bomb on a hurricane, and I'm not the first one to see it, and it's not in the middle of the night, and it pops up on my timeline, and I don't blog it, I will quit Barstool Sports.
Oh, yeah.
That's yep. a promise.
Yep.
Yeah.
I promise.
We're all on alert for you.
I need those. That blog in and of itself would be enough for me to get my clicks bonus for the year.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
120 million%. Well, hope that happens.
Can't wait to find out if it does.
I do. That'd be worth it. The Fingers nuclear crossed. Fallout. I've Fingers seen crossed. Chernobyl. Kind of worth it in the long run.
Oh,
minus
yeah.
having to bury the dogs in lead and shit like that.
Right.
That was pretty bad.
Well, yeah. this would be whales.
Huh. All right. Let's move on.
We've talked about the 3 million plus cups of coffee sent overseas, the over 1,000 units that Starbucks has adopted, the 25,000 spouses and military veterans that have been hired by Starbucks, and that number continues to grow, the military family stores, all that stuff. But they're also supporting VSOs, veteran service organizations. One of them I've belonged to myself, Team RWB. The other, Team Rubicon, which takes the skills of veterans and takes them on deployments. They get to redeploy to humanitarian crises and natural disasters and help people all over again, share their skills all over again. And Team RWB, any cool activity, sport you can think of across the country, they're connecting veterans with civilians and getting to do those cool things. This fall, Starbucks is going to be making a donation to each of them. And as per usual on 11/11, you know you're going to get that tall cup of coffee from Starbucks for free if you're a military veteran, active duty, or a spouse. So check them out. Thank you so much to Starbucks for all that you do. They really do walk the talk when it comes to supporting our military. Oh, and don't forget, check out the Starbucks Military Community group on Facebook. It's a closed page, but you can get in there. You don't have to be active duty. You can be a spouse, family, friend, whatever, and see what opportunities they have for you.
Now, I'm going to start off with my save round because it's a little bit longer. This isn't normally something that I would like to do or want to do, and I haven't even told you guys about it. You know
oh,
that
God.
I've been a
big... Am I about to get big, fired?
No. You know that I've been a big H.W. Bush fan for a long
time.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I love his letters that he gives out. I love his penmanship. I love how much he loved his wife. But we have said many, many times on Zero Blog 30 that we do not fat shame. Right, Kate?
You know, especially me. I don't know what you guys are talking about because I feel like you often do fat shame, which is shocking to me.
We don't fat. We right, do no. not fat shame on this show. President H.W. Bush, if we're going to spout his good stuff,
oh,
we also
no.
have got to call him to the carpet for the bad stuff. President Bush released a letter, a White House memo on February 6, 1992, and it's about his dog Ranger. And it reads, recently Ranger was put on a weight reduction program. Either that program succeeds or we enter Ranger and the Houston Fat Stock Show as a prime heifer.
Wow.
All offices should take a formal pledge that reads as follows. And these are all caps. We agree not to feed Ranger. We will not give him biscuits. We will not give him food of any kind. In addition, Ranger's access is hereby restricted. He has been told not to wander the corridors without an escort. This applies to the east and west wings, to the residence, and from the third floor to the very, very bottom basement. Although Ranger will still be permitted to roam Camp David, the Camp David staff, including the Marines, the naval personnel, all civilians, and kids, are specifically instructed to, quote, rat on anyone seen feeding Ranger. Ranger has been asked to wear a, and this is the most fucked up part, Ranger has been asked to wear a do not feed me badge in addition to his normal identification.
Oh
so now not
God.
Only are we not feeding him, we're
let
shaming
me finish.
Him.
Let me finish.
Sorry.
He says, I will, of course, report on Ranger's fight against obesity. Right now, he looks like a blimp. A nice, friendly, appealing blimp, but a blimp. We need your all hands help. Please help us. From the president, George Bush. This is so fucked up.
Oh my God, Ranger. He did not do anything to deserve that. I'm looking at him right here, and he's adorable. Looks just fine. You know, he was named after the Texas Rangers baseball team, and he is, for those who can't say, a brown and white English Springer Spaniel. So,
very nice looking dog.
Very nice looking dog.
I can't believe that he would do that. What, fat shaming your own dog is super fucked up. And maybe the whole thing, I understand putting him on a diet because the type of dog that he is, a Springer Spaniel, they can develop hip problems such as hip dysplasia. They can get back problems if they get a little bit overweight. This is something that you take care of in private. This
you do it. You take care of it in-house.
You have in private. Yeah.
Yes, you don't in-house. Put it out there. You don't put it out there like that.
My God.
But, I mean, what a treat to see what a presidential memo really looks like.
I know. That is adorable. It was adorable that he took the time to write that. That's the only kind of fat shaming that I like. That was the cutest kind.
We're not going to support that. That's very fucked up.
But I will say it probably came from a source of caring about the dog's well-being. So it came from a good place.
All right. Cons, you got any save rounds?
Yeah. Did you guys happen to hear Marty Mush's rendition of the national anthem this morning at the Barstool Classic?
All the land of the free and the home of the brave.
I saw a brief clip of it.
And any thoughts?
You know, it's Marty Mush, so I give it a pass.
Okay. It was absolutely horrible.
He tried.
Yeah,
he tried his best.
He tried. So I guess my question is, when someone attempts to sing the national anthem and just completely butchers it, not necessarily for being off key or anything, but just overall just doesn't do a good job, is that problematic? Or do we just say, hey, he's still trying. That's good enough. There was no disrespect.
I think if your heart's in it, I don't care how you sing it.
Fair. Chaps?
National anthem participation trophy should not be a thing.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Well, Marty, you got some work to do, pal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Kate?
I'm on day 3, cold turkey, no smoking.
What prompted this latest attempt?
Oh, a terrible pender on Friday night. Oh, I got a little too drunk, and I smoked like 4 packs of cigarettes, and I woke up, I said, you know what? I'm done.
Okay.
But now I'm on day 3. I'm on day 3, and I didn't drink the rest of the weekend, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about going on a health kick.
Wow.
So, you don't seem too murdery.
Not yet.
I even got a FaceTime from you on Friday evening.
You did?
Do you not remember that?
Holy shit. No.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, in your defense, it wasn't from you. It was from another employee here, but you came on it and you were speaking to me.
Oh.
Oh. Huh. You were already that drunk at that time, Kate? That was like fucking 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple of us went out for steaks and wine, and then the wine kept coming. Mm-hmm. Then we went to this other bar, and we were playing Golden Tee.
Yes.
And people were buying us shots left and right. And at that point, I hadn't even planned on going out. I was going to go to dinner and go home. And I was like, I had my little backpack on. I was like, hey, fuck it. And then next thing you know, it's 4 in the morning. I'm in a club with like younger people here. Anyway, I woke up. I said, you know what? You know what, Kate? And I thought this from deep inside the trash bag that my head was in.
You need to find
vomiting.
A different and.
I said, Kate, you need to make some changes in your life.
Find a new and.
Yeah, I need to find a new and. I've started beekeeping. Can you believe it? I just started beekeeping yesterday. So that's a thing. Healthy new lifestyle coming in hot.
Cool.
So
good job.
All right, we'll see you guys on Friday. Sound the retreat.